Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Rebashitala barata kazale debo. Reba lebe de koro sale de karabadala de boshimbra masketolo. Ende yanande selekele koro dosi labarade sele de kushia. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, because you've brought us again, and you've never asked us to seek you in vain. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're welcome in Jesus' name, and I want to thank you all for joining in this evening. We're going to have a number of other people join us as we sit under the authority of God's word. So I want to ask that you would open your mind. I want to ask that you will open your heart and receive the engrafted word that is able to change and to transform your soul. You see, there was a famine in the land, but unto none did the word of God come except to the widow of Zarephath. What that means is that that woman who did not belong to the covenant, that woman who had a personal issue, that woman who didn't know God, but the word of the Lord came to her, which means that even though we are here and we are connecting from several places all over the world, different locations within the country and beyond, the word of the Lord in every opportunity such as this is looking for one ready heart. The word of the Lord is searching. Up till now, even from the time of scripture, God is still looking for a man whom he can prove himself strong on their behalf. So as we sit under the authority of God's word, I want you to open your heart. I want you to open your mind. I want you to receive the word, because there is no major transformation that ever occurred in scripture except where God spoke. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you because you have glorified your word above your name. And we thank you, Father, because your word will not fall to the ground until it has achieved everything that you have designed. And we lift your word high above principalities and above powers. And we declare every power that is in the atmosphere to be arrested. And we release the word of God to gain smooth entrance into the hearts of men so that their change can come. In Jesus' mighty name. I want to read from Romans chapter 10. And I trust God to just take a step further from what I began to share on Sunday. Peradventure, I may be able to add a layer or two. Now, read with me. It's quite a long read. I hope I can get to the end. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Paul said, "Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And please, let me start from here. It is God's will for every man to be saved. Please, wherever you are, I want you to write. It is God's will for every man and every woman and every child to be saved. But there are cases and situations where that expectation will not be met. that expectation will fail. That expectation will be aborted. That expectation, even though it is in the heart and in the mind of God, it will be aborted without remedy. Why? You cannot have a proper outreach ministry. You cannot have a major trust in the salvation of souls where prayer is absent. Paul said, my heart desire and prayer to God. There are many who have desires. There are many who find themselves in a community and they wish, oh God, I wish I could do something to be a blessing to people here. There are people who are in their offices, they have colleagues and friends, and they wish, oh, I just wish I could do something to bless people, to share the gospel with people, to, you know, lead them to Christ, bring them into the Christian faith. And Paul is saying there are two requirements for this matter to happen. Number one is the desire of your heart. Do you really want that person to be saved? Or are you just trying to be a Christian? Paul said, when your heart desire becomes so strong, such that it matches with the intensity and frequency of your prayer, that there will be result. And I please want you to catch this, and I want you to understand it. You must match your heart desire with the same level of prayer. There are people who are saying, oh, I have a desire, I want to share the gospel, but I don't know what to do. Listen to me. The first thing to do when you want to share the gospel with somebody that is in your office or someone that is maybe in your community, on your street, is not to share the gospel with the person. It's to ensure that you have generated a token. Some of you who have internet banking, some transactions, they will generate a soft token, or if you have your hard token device, you generate a token for that transaction. That token is your desire. That token is your desire. You see, spiritual things are not magic. You really can just read the scripture and you would understand exactly what God is saying. Now, there is, for every spiritual transaction, there is a sovereign side that relates specifically to God. But there is also the side of faith, or there is that which represents our own part of that transaction that we must perform or fulfill for us to see the kind of results we are looking for. And Paul is saying, look, I'm praying for my nation. I want them to be saved. But there are two requirements here. He said that he must have a heart desire that must match with prayer. There are people who desire, but they don't pray. They only, maybe as I'm just speaking now, some of them are remembering that, oh, my mom is still not saved. I want her to be saved. So they have a desire, but you must match that desire with corresponding prayer. I remember when I was praying for about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I was praying for a family, 1, 2, 3, about 5 of them to be saved. And I prayed that prayer for over 3 years. I prayed that prayer for over 3 years, and everybody came to Christ. So this is not game. We are not playing games. Your desire must be so strong so that if there is peradventure any delay in the answer that you seek, your desire will sustain that pressure and keep you in the place of prayer while you continue to engage them, sharing the gospel with them, or, you know, finding ways to get the gospel across. You are not discouraged. And this is why, even not just in prayers or in the salvation of souls, but even in other areas of our lives, a lot of believers desire so many things, but they've not generated the desire that is strong enough to sustain the pressure. So after they pray for some time, they get discouraged and then they back out. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. So please stay with me. I'm sharing something that is very deep, very simple, but very profound. These are the basic programs that our God wrote, computer program that he wrote when establishing the universe. So when you understand some of these things, you will be able to prosper. You will be able to do well. You will be able to advance in spiritual things. If you don't understand these basic things, well, by the time we enter the advanced things, because I'm talking and somebody is thinking, oh, this thing is advanced. No, these things are the basic things. By the time we now enter into the advanced layers of this kind of transactions, where we begin to deal with principalities and powers, and we begin to dethrone thrones and systems over cities and over nations, you may not be able to, you know, stand in those kind of areas. So I'm saying to you here that God has given us a key. The key of desire, when you match it with the key of prayer, when the will of God is already established, there is nothing the devil can do about that case. Please, did you hear what I just said? I said when you have the key of desire and you match it with the key of prayer, where or in any situation where the will of God has already been established, you have discerned that it is the will of God in this matter for certain activities to take place, then when you begin to pray, the devil that will stop that prayer has not been born. Now let's go on. Verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Now let me say something here. One of the things I want you to know, especially when you are relating with people who are not born again, but they are in church. They are not born again, but their parents are pastors. They are not born again, but they know everything that we do in church. Paul said that one of the major hindrances to the manifestation of the salvation of Israel is because they are very zealous for God. They are in church. They are in the prayer department. They come early and help you clean the chairs. There are people who do stuff. They are used to doing it because that's practically their life. And Paul is saying, look, when you begin to deal with people who are very zealous, but do not know God, you need this formula in verse 1. You need the formula in verse 1 because there are a lot of people in Nigeria, there are a lot of people in this part of the world where we come from, or maybe even where you are connecting from, where people are just, they are into, you know, religious things. They have an affinity for God. They love the idea of God. And that idea, that zealousness becomes a stumbling block in their progression in the knowledge of God. So Paul is saying here that actually I can bear them record in verse 2. That they have a zeal for God, but that zeal is not according to knowledge. So when you see somebody that that comes to church, is early, you know, you talk to him, say, I don't play with church. If some of them will tell you, I don't miss praise worship. So I don't know if you've ever heard people like that. They'll tell, I don't miss praise worship in every service. It is praise worship. God uses to bless me. In fact, can I even shock you? Many of them will have testimonies. They will always testify in church. But Paul is saying that the reason why they are like that is that they don't have knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Verse 3 tells us that they are ignorant of God's righteousness. What is God's righteousness? The righteousness of God that is revealed without the law. That's what Paul taught us in Romans. If you read Romans chapter 3, 4, 5, it talks, and even Galatians, it talks about the righteousness that is revealed without the law. That means the righteousness, the revelation of God's nature that is given to us without obeying some of these commandments. You need to sacrifice, kill a ram on a particular time of the year, or you need to go and do some rites. You know, there are things we do, you know, and every religion has its own rites. But the position of righteousness is not built on those rites. Is built on faith in Christ Jesus, if you're a Christian. So Paul is saying here that they are even those zealous, but they are ignorant of God's righteousness. What that means is that they are aware that at some point in time, you needed to sacrifice an animal, you needed to do a few things to be able to, you know, enter into a good relationship with God. But God has changed that model. He doesn't run that pattern anymore. But they are stuck with it. Do you know why? Because in the past, that model gave them results. That model worked for them. And there is something, there could be a deception in something that works. If somebody prayed 3 hours and he got a particular answer, the next day he has a challenge. Instead of seeking the face of God, he's going to say, oh, last week when I had this problem, it was 3 hours prayers that did it. The moment you enter into that mode, this is not to say you should not pray 3 hours. What I'm saying is that some problems are designed with specific solutions. So one rubber doesn't stamp everything. So this is where the yielding of the heart to the direction of the Holy Spirit becomes significant. And I want you to please just understand what I'm saying. And I hope I am not too complicated for you. So he said that these guys are ignorant of God's righteousness, and they go about trying to establish their own righteousness. I remember about 3 years ago, somebody came to see me in the church office, an elderly man, a man of repute. And then when he got into the office, he was like, oh, you know, I'm so-so person. I just got back from the UK. This is an elderly man, like probably 60 years old. Oh, you know, I just got back from the UK. In fact, there's a popular, he mentioned a particular pastor in the UK, who is a Nigerian, like one of the most popular pastors there. Oh, when he just started his church, we were among the first members. You know, my wife used to be an evangelist in that church, you know, until I divorced my wife and I married somebody else, blah, 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 blah. I just sat there and I listened. For whatever he must have been trying to tell me, all I heard was a man who felt he now knew more than those who go to church, because he was trying to tell me, oh, I don't go to church no more. I just had to come here this morning. So I escorted him downstairs. There's no time to, I can't deal with this one. I just escorted him downstairs and I said goodbye to him. So there are people who believe that because they've been in a church since 1845, they saw the revival of Apostle Ayo Babalola. So nothing, anything after then, they can't take it. Paul is saying that those people are going about trying to establish their righteousness. And you also find this when you see people online trying to tell you, you know, about God, but you look at them, there's nothing on their profile that looks born again, except that thing they just posted. You know, so you have all these kind of things. So you need to do background check. Just because someone is going from meeting to meeting, there are people you go from conferences, you find them in every meeting. So Paul said, look, though it's not by going about trying to establish your righteousness that you're going to get it right with God. Okay? And Paul said to us in verse 4, and this is very significant. He said, for Christ is the end of the law. Now, this one is an entire message. But maybe if I get some motivation, I'll come and teach on this. Paul said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. What he's saying is that as powerful as Moses was, as significant as Moses was, the moment Jesus died and rose from the grave, that order was ended. When you read the law now, when you read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those are the law. When you read those books written by Moses, your primary assignment is to see Christ through those books. If you don't see Christ through those books, you might likely be stuck in the past. So Paul is saying you don't need to make sacrifice, you don't need to some of the things, and these things were big deals back then, you know. In fact, there was don't let me go into this one, but just take it from me, I will come back and I will teach on this one, because there is still a lot of people who think that they can, by doing things, impress God. In Christianity, we do things. In Christianity, we pay tithe. In Christianity, we sow seed. In Christianity, we pray, we fast, we study the word. We do things that, we take Holy Communion. We do things that seem like external forms of ritual. But we do it, number one, because we love God. Then we do it because we have an understanding. Every other thing must stow behind this thing. The moment you do it, because you feel you have to do it, you are back in the law. Leave it. Let's go to verse 5. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. If the moment you embrace the law, don't bother coming to the New Testament. Now, I'm trying to drive down to something here. The righteousness, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into the heavens? That is to say, to bring Christ down. Verse 7, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. Because, you see, when you read the scripture, you are wondering, oh, what's Paul talking about? Paul is talking about a generation that, like, oh, we were not there when Jesus came. We were not there. We heard that he was born. We heard that he worked miracles. But he didn't come in our time. So, if he loves us, he needs to come and reveal himself in our time. I can assure you, just take this one from me. If the Lord Jesus comes now as a baby, most of the people that will kill him will be Christians. Most of the people that will crucify him, they are on Facebook, they are on Instagram, they are all bearing Christian names. But if Jesus lived a life, if Jesus lived a life that was compatible with his generation, nobody will kill him. Because I go online or I have conversations with people. Sometimes I see people having conversations across the street and they are saying, hey, what's the big deal about Christianity? Everything is about love. Everything is about love. And I laugh. I say, I wish I could say the same thing. I say, I wish I could say the same thing. If the only thing Jesus was preaching was love, they won't kill him. The day they wanted to make him king, they wanted to make him king, they ganged up. We are going to make this man our king. Hey, we'll be eating free food. This man is a good man. He's a prophet. Then he said, okay, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Only for him to say, praise the Lord, and there was nobody in the church again. So please, don't even let anybody give you all that hogwash that, hey, if Jesus can come down, I will believe. Or if I can see how he resurrects from the dead. That's what Paul is talking about here. That we will bring him down. We want to see him. And Peter's generation saw him. We want to see him now. What you will see today is the manifestations of the sons of God with power. Praise God. What you will see is the manifestations of the sons of God with power. And then he will come. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 8. But what does it say? The word of God. When people are looking up and saying, can we bring him down again? Or when some are looking to the burial ground and they are saying, oh, can he rise up again? What is Paul telling us to do? He said the word of God, the word, the revelation of Jesus, the accurate description of the glory of God revealed in the person of Jesus is the word that is near thee. There's a word of God near thee. Every time you begin to have this agitation to draw near to the Lord, just know there is the word of God that is dancing around you, that is seeking to find an entrance into your heart. He said, the word of God is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And that is the word of faith that we preach. Praise God. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess the Lord with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and you shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, hallelujah. Now, you see, I tried to read this scripture because of a particular verse. If you read verse 17 of Romans chapter 10, the word says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing by the word of God. Now, we quote this scripture a lot. The reason why, and I quoted the scripture on Sunday, and I explain that scripture, or that word, then, so then, faith, comment, that word then suggests that certain things have been discussed that we need to visit. Certain things have been discussed that we need to understand. And those are the things I started mentioning to you. That when people say the word of God is far from them, many times it is not because God is not speaking, it's because their foundation is faulty. Come on. I wish somebody heard that one now. I wish somebody heard. When people say, oh, I wish God would say something. And Paul already told us in the verses ahead that the word of God is near you. And it's actually in your heart. And it's also in your mouth. So when people say God is far away from them, many times they have faulty foundations that is based on ignorance. Based on ignorance. I remember speaking to a lady who attended a church that is known in Africa as an African denominated church. And I asked her, oh, are you born again? And she said, yes, that she's been born again from birth. And I said, nobody is born again from birth. You have to come to a place, first of all, where you realize that you are a sinner and you need a savior. Some people just heard the message preached in church based on prosperity and they raised their hands. I don't know about that. But I'm saying that somewhere in that equation, you must realize that you are a sinner and you need the saving grace of the Messiah. Water baptism. A prophet laying hands on you does not qualify as being born again. You must first realize that you are in need of a savior, because that lady was saying to me, oh, that she was baptized by water as a baby baptism, and that she's been confirmed as a born again Christian. I said, being born again is not like baptismal certificate. We can issue you a baptismal certificate in church, but we cannot issue you a born again certificate. That one belongs to God. My advice is for you to give your life to Christ. Okay? So when you now look at verse 17, Paul was trying to tell us that faith draws its weight and identity from certain quarters. And this is very significant here, because most of the very powerful scriptures in the Bible are the common ones that we have despised as a result of interaction. So he's saying here that faith cometh by hearing. And then in the previous verse, he said to us in verse 8, that the word of the Lord is near you, and the word of the Lord is in your mouth and in your heart. And if you look at verse 8, and he's saying to us in verse 17, that faith cometh by the hearing, and by the hearing of the word of God. So what you look at the verse 8, you notice that the scripture in verse 8 had made no reference to hearing. The scripture in verse 8 does not make any reference to hearing. It made reference to the word of the Lord being in a man's heart, and the word of the Lord being spoken, and the word of the Lord not being far from a man. Please understand what I'm saying. That means that hearing is not the hearing of your physical ears. It's the hearing in your spirit. That for faith to be activated with full potential to deliver results, that faith, there must first be the hearing of the ears. I mean your spirit hears. That means that when you study the word of God, or when God speaks to you, maybe by prophecy or by visions, you must come into the place where that particular revelation, as you have interacted with it properly in your spirit. I'm telling you how supernatural things work. Which is the reason why sometimes they may bring somebody, to a minister and say, please, this person is sick, help us pray. And you will know in your heart. And now, if you're a pastor and you are connected, you probably will know this. That you don't have faith for everybody's healing. Sometimes you have more faith administered to you by the Lord, but no, more than other periods. So sometimes out of emotionalism, you just pray. But you know that there's a kind of faith that God generates as a soft token for you every time you need to minister in that regard, but that faith is not available. You know, and Kenneth Hagin said to us, and he taught us, he said, look, you will not always have the Spirit of God resting powerfully upon you, but you can develop your faith and your word level and begin to become proficient in the use of faith as a tool, such that you can get the same result that an anointed man will get just by being proficient in the use of faith. To become proficient in the use of faith is that you must learn how to hear the word of the Lord in your heart. You must learn how to be patient enough to hear the word of the Lord in your heart. What I'm sharing with you now will save your life. I'm telling you. Every time that I've had to interact with this thing physically, and there was a word of assurance that the Lord said to me, look, this matter is going to be solved. Don't do anything. And I stood my ground and didn't do anything. I saw exactly the result the Lord said. Because there is a hearing of faith. The hearing of faith means that when the Lord lays something upon your heart or speaks into your heart about a particular thing, I'm talking here about how to get your prayers answered. The proof that you have received of the Lord is that it will first of all bring rest into your souls. God is never in the hasty business. The scripture actually teaches us and says that they that believe shall not make haste. So every time you find that you are always having to rush out in haste, just know that you are not operating in faith. Every time you want to move fast and make sense, just know that the faith will not be supplied because you are going out in haste. And the scripture warns us, it says, in quietness and confidence shall our strength be. In quietness and in confident trust in the Lord shall our strength be. So these are things I'm throwing at you because I expect you to go back and begin to utilize this thing. And the beautiful thing about it is that, look, the moment you try it once and you get it right, you do it again, you start getting better. The day will come when your friend will tell you, let's rush out. You will tell them, I don't operate like this. I don't operate like this. Because you've become very comfortable with this new application that you downloaded on your phone. So you know, let's just go out. Let's just see how it goes. In my life, I don't see how it goes again. Because people went into relationships hoping that it will lead somewhere. And it didn't, because somewhere at the background of your mind, you are trying to check to see if this person meets the requirement. You are trying to see how it goes. That is not the operation of faith. And if God loves you, he will scatter that relationship. I don't know if somebody is hearing something here. Please talk to me if you are getting something. Because I just came tonight to be a blessing. I just want to try and help somebody by the mercy of God. Because a lot of Christians are sincere, but they are suffering and they are being punished like unbelievers. I'm telling you, a lot of believers have embraced mediocrity. They have embraced a lower life than God ordained for them. And they are saying to their friends that they are waiting for God's time. You are not waiting for God's time. God is waiting for you. Many people that say they are waiting for God's time, they are actually not waiting for God. God is the one waiting for them. So please, don't, in this thing I'm sharing with you now, you are not likely going to hear praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. But this is the one that will give you results. So I want you to listen to me. There are people that are having issues in their marriages. This is what they need. Because you listen to everybody about your wife, you know, you talk to people about your wife, but you listen to everybody except God. Who knew about that marriage before it started? Have you ever gone to God and asked for wisdom? That, Father, how do I handle this issue concerning my husband? How do I handle this issue concerning my wife or about my son? I read the book about a woman. I mean, many years ago, the woman was something about the power of a praying wife. I think that's the name of the book. The Power of a Prayer. Storm me, oh my son. I hope I got it right. And the woman said anytime she needed to do something and she knew it was God's will for them to do that thing, and her husband would always say, oh, no, he's not interested, she will leave him. There's no point arguing and making a big deal out of nothing. She will go back to her prayers and, God, go and talk to your son. he has started again. You know, the guy comes back 2 days later. So that's cool. That's cool that you are talking about. So how far with the school? You know, well, my wife actually confessed 3 days ago that she uses that thing on me and that it works. I decided I would go to God and say, please stop listening to her so that let me know anytime she talks to you. but I mean, can you believe it? My wife says she uses it for me and that it works. Oh my God. It's a serious matter. Some of you don't know anything. Some of you that are married, you don't even know how many times your wife has taken your matter to God, and God has supported your wife against you. So if you are there, a single brother, and you are saying, ah, it will not happen in my house, don't worry, I got you. But by the time she takes your matter, just come so that I can encourage you. So, amen, praise God. Okay, so you generate faith by hearing in your heart. What that means, let me give an example. If you are listening to a message, like as I'm sharing with you now, you are hearing me with your ears, but you are also listening in your spirit. You are listening in your spirit for that word, the word that something that will activate you, push you out of your seat. So you are not just listening, let Pastor finish, let me go. No. You know that there's something that you really want to hear. So you are listening differently. When somebody tells you that, look, let me give an example of hearing of it. When somebody tells you that, okay, I want to give somebody a gift of 5 million naira, but I'm going to speak to you for 30 minutes, and after that 30-minute session, I'm going to ask 3 questions. Whoever gets it gets 5 million. Now, even if you are a man of faith, are you listening to me? Maybe you are here now. You don't see man, you only see God. But somebody is in front of you and says, this is 5 million, and he puts it on the table and says, look, I'm going to teach you a few things, on artificial intelligence. Once I'm done, I will ask 3 questions. Whether you're a boy or a girl, man, woman, divorced, single, murderer, murdered. If you answer that question, I will give you 5 million. Now, what happens to you in your mind is that you sit up. You want to listen to what he's saying because these 5 million you are listening to. You see that readiness in your heart to listen for that relevant information is the posture that a man of faith also maintains. Oh my God. It is the same posture that a man of faith maintains because he believes, just like Mary, the sister of Lazarus, believed. Say, Master, even though he has been buried for 4 days, if you say something, he will come back. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is the same woman that sat at his feet when the other sister was preparing food. The woman had swallowed so much of Jesus' teachings that she had faith that even after 4 days of being dead, that man could come back. And exactly that was what happened. So all these listening to God's word, sitting under the word, downloading messages, listening. I mean, I went for a conference at Otter about 2 years ago. Up till now, I was in every one of those sessions. There are more than 40 sessions. I am still listening to those messages. Can you imagine somebody listening to a particular message more than 2 years and I'm still listening? And I'm still listening and I'm seeing the result. Now, this is the thing. After listening for 2 years, then I play the message again. Then I hear another thing. I thought I've never heard this one before. It's because of the posture of the heart to hear the voice of faith.
that causes a man's inner ears to be opened. The inner ears of a man doesn't open because he wants it to open. It opens up because the man has a readiness. He has postured himself that he only wants to hear the voice of God. I mean, as I'm talking to you now, the person doesn't really care about me. He just wants to hear what God will say through this boy. That's all. That's all. That's the hearing of faith that generates power. Because listen to me. Hey, come on now. Listen to me. When God's word comes into a man's life, it goes straight into his heart. When the word is about to change that man's life, it goes into his mouth. Oh my God. When God is about to change a man's life, he sends his word into that man's heart. But when the season is ripe for that manifestation, that word will leave his heart and go into his mouth. So that's why you find that in verse 8, the scripture said, the word of God is near you, is in your heart, and is in your mouth. No ears again. Because the interaction that allows, or the operation that allows the word of God to settle in the heart is the hearing of faith, the readiness of the mind to receive the word of the Lord. Praise God. The readiness of the mind to embrace the word of the Lord, that regardless of what you are going through right now, God has told you not to worry, and that settles it. It doesn't matter what anybody is saying. It doesn't matter what happened when you went out this morning. You have received a word of assurance in your heart that God said you should not worry about. And that's it. That's it. Now, you will not get there in one day. That's why you need to hear this message and begin to build your strength in that area. So your hearing, the posture, the readiness of mind to hear the word of the Lord is what will move that word from the heart of God, and you hear it, it enters your spirit. The moment that that word is ripe for manifestation, there will be another hearing that causes your heart to be stimulated in a very unique way, and then you begin to make utterances. You begin to make utterances. You begin to make utterances. You begin to declare, say, no, 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 no. My dad will not die. You begin to speak and say, no, 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 he's not going to die. My dad is going to be healed. He's going to bounce back. You begin to, maybe you are having negative dreams. You begin to cancel out those negative dreams because you have moved from the place of the hearing of faith in your heart, where the word of God settles. You have now moved into the manifestation, and in the spirit realm, every activity is ordered, is aligned, is arranged through spoken words. So through the mystery of spoken words or divine words or words of faith, a man on earth is able to interact in the spirit realm. And that is why when a person says, oh, this is the only problem I have, oh, is malaria. This is the only problem I'm AA, is malaria. No matter the man of God that lays hands on you, you will keep buying drug every month. There's a way you will believe that thing in your mind, that the reason why you have malaria all the time is because you are AA. The moment that reality settles in your heart, you will just find that even if no mosquito comes to your house, that month you will pay for drugs. And these things are realities. You just have to understand them. Now, this message is on Facebook, and it's recorded, it's on Mixlr, and it's on YouTube. Please take some time after this session, go back and listen to them. I'm not for my voice, or for you. Listen for yourself. So you can see that even every time, and most of the times, that Jesus was going to work a miracle, he spoke words. He spoke words to the person. That man came and he's a leper, and he said, if it is your will for me to be healed, please heal me. And Jesus said, it is my will. Be cleansed. The moment Jesus said, be cleansed, the power of God followed his words. Let me add one layer here now, because I can't finish this. For your words to become filled with power, for your words to become filled with the same energy with which it is coming from your spirit, if you don't want revelation to be truncated, despite all you know, if your mouth is the instrument through which God will execute his will on the earth as you begin to speak, then you must desist from negative speaking. You must desist from speaking guile. You must desist from saying something simply because you feel like talking. that mouth was not given to you for food alone. It was given to take that which is in the spirit, transport them into the material realm. So I want to tell you that many people are, I mean, even maybe somebody is listening to me now, but you still engage in careless talking, unnecessary speaking, or you speak guile. You say things that are not necessary. One of the things that will pull down the weight and the strength of the word of God in your mouth are these things. So you need to take time, you need to watch some of these things, you need to actually stop talking to some people. Praise God. I don't know if somebody is blessed tonight. Okay, I would have loved to proceed, but we are already out of time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is somebody blessed tonight? So you need to just stop negative speaking. Telling people how bad the situation is not going to change anything. You tell somebody, oh, you do know how bad the situation is? The neck is broken. The hands are broken. He cannot turn his head. Oh, at the end of the day, the other person will say, wow, it is well. God will touch him. Hey, wow. So you mean the man hit his head with a club stick? People will just feel pity for you. People will feel sorry for you. But nothing is going to change. You are using your mouth for the wrong thing. There are people who, even Christians, who just go about looking for pity party. They just want somebody to feel pity for them and feel sorry for them. No, there's no time for what. You stop that rubbish. You don't go about looking for people to feel sorry for your condition or for your. You get up and get serious. Listen to me. There are people that are 40 years old, and there are men begging them and say, look, if you don't marry me, I will die. And the lady is still saying, I need to pray about it. So don't let the devil put you into a box and tell you that you are the only one that is not married. Who, according to who? According to who? Who are you listening to? According to who? Did God tell you that your husband is missing? Did God tell you that job, you will never get it again? Why do we spend more time listening and believing Satan? And we even go as far as telling your neighbor what Satan told you. But this word of the Lord that he said must not depart from your mouth, you threw it out of the window. Do you see why the word of God is not really effective for many people? Just with the way they think and with the way they use their tongue. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for tonight. And we receive grace. And we receive grace. And we receive grace. And the abundance of mercy. For every listener tonight, that Lord, you will grant us grace to come into a full entrance concerning these things we have heard. Everybody at the sound of my voice, with myself included, will receive grace to come into the reality of this, that these words, if they are truly from you, O God, we go into the lives of these people and will begin to produce unexplainable results. That they will now begin to learn to depend on the Holy Spirit and not be moved by that which man offers as an alternative. That Lord, I ask that you will cause your word to proceed with great power, and that in the name of Jesus Christ, your word will begin to gain ascendancy over every listener tonight, producing harvests of 30, 60, and 100. And I pray that, Lord, in no distant time, this very word that they have heard tonight will bring a mighty harvest into their lives, that in their hearts they will have no room for the enemy anymore, but they begin to trust you 110% in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak a word of blessing over every heart, and I speak concerning everyone who is sick. I speak concerning those with growths in their bodies. Now that growth, hear the voice of the Lord and die in the name of Jesus. I pray for people with medical conditions, every condition that is in your body that the Father has not permitted, every tree growing that the Father did not plant. Listen to me, the devil is a liar. In the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every other name, be healed now and let your body receive the touch of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, as I speak to you, the pain is taken away from you. The pain is taken away from you. You are becoming stronger. You are becoming healthier. And you are able to get up and do what you couldn't do before. And by the time you go back to the doctors, you are going to get a clean report. In the name of Jesus. This same word will go into your life and it will give you a job. This same word you are hearing now will go into your heart as you receive it. And it's going to connect you to the right people. It's going to open opportunities for you, doors of opportunities for you. It will give you the inheritance that is better than 10 sons. As you believe and as you say amen, it is your portion. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah.